We're going to be in the book of Galatians that was read moments ago in Galatians 2. I titled the lesson, No Tolerance, and you're going to see why in just a moment. There are things in Scripture that the Lord tolerates from us. You and I, sometimes there's teachings that it's not said one way or the other, and you can formulate an opinion. And the Lord tolerates that. Romans 14 is very clear about the Lord tolerating those things. You can have an opinion about something. Just make sure you don't take your opinion and try to force it on other people. That's when it becomes evil. But to have your own opinion, and it's good, you know, just keep it to yourself and keep letting the Word of God talk and keep letting Him work and mold you and change you. But there are some things that there is no tolerance on. And salvation is one of those issues. There can be no tolerance when it comes to being saved. One of the worst things we can do for one another, or one of the worst things you could do for your family, is to try to let your family think, or an individual think, or a friend think that they're saved when they're not. Salvation is an issue that we can't tolerate. And then there's the other side of it, that here we are, people in Christ Jesus, saved by the blood of Christ, under the blood of Christ. And to treat those people as they're guilty or use guilt to motivate them, that's just as wrong. You know, Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Oh, if we could grasp that better. And so, you don't want to condemn people that are saved, and then you don't want people who aren't saved thinking they are saved. Because there are eternal consequences in all of those things. Well, here in Galatians 2, what we're going to begin to see is that Paul has been preaching for 17 years. Now, he's going to start off in verse 1 talking about 14 years. But earlier, back in verse 18, he was 3 years in Arabia. And so, we've got him preaching a total of 17 years in this deal. And in his 3 years when he was in Arabia, He had contact with Peter and James, but he only had contact with them 15 days. So he didn't see anybody else. He wasn't around anybody else in his first 17 years of preaching. And so Paul lets them know in verse 1 of chapter 2, he said, "Then after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along." Just a little quick side note. When you see them going up to Jerusalem, the up idea, it's elevation. Jerusalem's higher in elevation. So anytime you read them about going up or going down, they're rising in elevation. Well, here Paul, you know, he comes. He comes to Jerusalem with Barnabas, Titus, verse 2. He says, "It was because of a revelation that I went up. And I submitted to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. But I did so in private to those who were of reputation, for fear that I might be running or had run in vain." Somehow, God got to Paul. You've got to go to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, Paul's going to submit to the ones of reputation, the other apostles. He's going to submit to them this gospel for the last 17 years that he's been preaching. And their concern in verse 2, he says at the end of it, "For fear that I might be running or had run in vain." What if all these 17 years Paul was preaching a wrong gospel? Paul had left something out. They were concerned, the apostles were. And somehow God wanted Paul to get to Jerusalem and listen and submit to these men of reputation of what's going on, of what he preached, verse 3. He says, "But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now we get a hint of the problem. Titus is a Greek. He's a Gentile. And he said, when we got there to the church at Jerusalem, and with those apostles that were there, those of high reputation, they didn't ask Titus to be circumcised. You see, there was a big issue going on. I want you to hold this in Galatians, and I want you to come back to Acts 15 with me. In Acts chapter 15, we get an explanation of what they were facing. Acts chapter 15 is about 50 A.D. We're 17 years after the death of Jesus. And look at what the church is already facing. 17 years thereabout after the death of Jesus. Look at verse 1. Acts 15. Some men came down from Judea and began teaching the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, here they are in Jerusalem. The church is together. And all of a sudden, within the church, guess what? Someone starts teaching, some of the men. Unless you're circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. We got a problem. And it's major, verse 2. And when Paul and Barnabas had great dissension and debate with them, the brethren determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders concerning this issue. There was not just a little discussion about this. There was some dissension in the ranks of the brethren. There were some brethren that sided with circumcision of Moses, and there were brethren who didn't think you need to be circumcised in order to be saved. And so now you get Paul and Barnabas and the rest. Let's go to Jerusalem and let's meet with the rest of the apostles and let's see if this is right. Well, the elders are going to be there too in the church. Verse 3. Therefore, being sent on their way by the church, they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and were bringing great joy to all the brethren. As they were passing, coming to Jerusalem, they were telling people, the Gentiles can be saved in this deal. And boy, people were excited. They were ecstatic that the Gentiles are part of all of this too. Continue. Verse 4. When they arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. Look at verse 5. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed stood up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and direct them to observe the law of Moses. Some in the church received them gladly. There were others. They were a sect of Pharisees, but they had believed. They had come to Christ too. But with all of their thinking, with all of their knowledge, guess what they began to do? It's necessary to circumcise. It's necessary to observe the law of Moses. I mean, we've got great debate. We got things going on. You've got Paul, you've got Barnabas, you've got Titus, you've got some other people, and in the church itself, you got all these teachings floating around. And it's major. Well, if you'll come back to Galatians 2:3, this is where we pick up of what was happening at the church of Jerusalem. And Paul tells them, but not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. No one that was tied to Christ, that was being honest, and that was being sincere, asked Titus to be circumcised. Circumcision and the law of Moses has nothing to do if you're going to be saved. Nothing. But look what ends up happening. Verse 4. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. The biggest shock, church. There are false brethren. Why in the world do you think those verses are there? In the church, there can be people saying they're tied to the Lord. There can be people saying they're saved, and they're false. And Paul knew that here because he said, false brethren secretly brought in. They're bringing in this other teaching alongside of what Paul and the apostles, what Paul and Barnabas and Titus were preaching. They bring this in alongside, and he calls them false brethren. You know, when you look under the new covenant that we have in Jesus, there are no food laws, there are no circumcision laws, there are no new day laws. No, all of those things have been dealt with and taken out of the way. And so, yeah, now you've got these people with this great knowledge of all the law of Moses and what that Old Testament was about, and they're coming into the church and they're saying, church, we gotta have all of these things back here too. Jesus is fine, but we need Jesus plus, or you can't be saved. Would that create a problem if we did that here? And sometimes in the church, we got people want to go and teach some things. They're not even correct. They make it up from something or someone tells them or they read something. When anyone teaches something that is not part of the truth, they will ensnare your soul. You need to know that. Even John, the apostle, wrote in 2 John 9, he talks about if anyone goes too far and does not remain in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. Now, why do you think John would say that? Because sometimes in the church, people take things too far. They go too far away from what Christ and those apostles meant. And now you've got these false brethren. They're trying to bring people into bondage by saying, you've got to keep circumcision in there. You've got to keep the law of Moses. And we've got this great debate raging. What are you going to do about it? Look at verse 5. He says, but we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. Here's the concern. And church, I want us this morning, this is the foundation. The truth of the gospel must remain intact. And Paul said, when you got all these other people coming in here and teaching these different things, adding it on to it, Paul said, you know what? We did not yield into subjection for an hour. There is truth, and there is no tolerance to go away from it. You can't tolerate somebody teaching things that are not part of the gospel. You can't go teaching things that they did not, those apostles went out and taught, that here's how you're saved. You can't go away from that. You can't add other things on top of what the apostles taught. And so here's Paul, and he said, I mean, we didn't even remain in subjection for an hour. Why? So that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. You leave the truth of the gospel, and you're going to forfeit your soul. And I want everybody here this morning that has a heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ to hear that. There is the truth of the gospel, and it has to remain. There is no tolerance. There is no way around that. And when you start messing with it, you think it's okay to bring in this and to bring in that on top of it, something's going to happen. And it's not going to be good. I can remember back in the 1980, my home congregation out of Texas. I live in a little bitty town, 2,500 people. Congregation there, we were about 300 in number. Yeah, a lot of people for a little place. It wasn't long after that that the elders and some preachers that started coming along started changing the gospel. For the next 25 years, elders maintained that they're going to add this stuff to it. Preachers got up and they encouraged them to preach it. Today, you're going to do well to find 40 people left. It's gone. It shattered it. In 1981, a friend of mine was preaching over in Illinois. And he held to the truth, kept submitting the truth of the gospel to the people. Congregation was about 175 in number. All of a sudden, they hire on a preacher, and a preacher gets up, and he starts stating the purpose of baptism is not salvation. It's not a salvation issue. The elders backed him up. There was great discussion within the church. Wait a second. Baptism is essential for salvation, and to say it's not, you're moving away from the hope of the gospel. It's part of the truth. Well, the elders and the preachers decided not, no, they're going to hold to this other. Today, you'll do well to find 20 of them. 175, now they're down to 20. Any time you don't keep the truth of the gospel intact, it is going to cost you. And it's going to be the same way here, folks. You know, the Lord has blessed this place. He has blessed every one of you. And if we're going to end up changing and we're going to start getting these newfangled ideas and we're going to start bringing in things that changes the truth of the gospel, you know what we're going to have to start doing? We're going to have to start doing gimmicks and things to bring people around because that's what you're relying on. And the truth of the gospel is the power of God to save people. There's the power of God, not having a circus out here in our parking lot for everybody to come in here and look. We don't want to build a gymnasium so we can have all these activities going on. It's the truth of the gospel that saves. And Paul told the elders, Paul told the apostles, Paul told the church in Jerusalem, we're not submitting to this stuff. These false brethren have come in and they've led us a different way. And he said, we're not going to do it. There is no tolerance. We're not yielding to this. In church, we need to hear that today. We need to hear it today because your salvation depends on it. The power of God depends on it. And we've got to hold to that. And Paul is teaching it here. You abuse the gospel in any way, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. Well, look at verse 6. Paul continues on. But from those who are of high reputation, what they were makes no difference to me. God shows no partiality. Well, those who have reputation contributed nothing to me. You know, those of high reputation, Peter, James, and John, verse 9 will tell you who they are. They're Peter, James, and John. You know what those apostles did not do? They didn't contribute one thing to Paul's teachings. They didn't help Paul in the gospel he submitted. Paul didn't get anything from them. And so he said, you know what? Those of high reputation, they didn't contribute to me in any way in what I preach and teach. No. Continue on, verse 7. But on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. You know what they recognized? Paul had been given the gospel to go to the Gentile, the uncircumcised. And knowing that Paul had been to the uncircumcised, they understood Peter and those men, they were going to the circumcised to teach that gospel, the Jews. They recognized that. Verse 7 again into 8, but on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectually worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectually worked for me also to the Gentile. God was working His gospel and His truth in both men. They just had different people to take it to. But God was working it. And it was God being the power behind it. He said He effectually worked it. Well, verse 9, and recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, Cephas is Peter, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They recognized the grace. These reputed pillars in the church, these apostles, recognized that Paul and Barnabas had the truth. And they extended, we are one in this deal together. Even though I may be preaching over here to this group of people, Peter, James, and John were preaching over here. God was working it all. They recognized God was working it all. They recognized they were all teaching the same gospel of truth. And by the way, shouldn't that be? Shouldn't the church, if we're holding to the teachings of Jesus Christ that He gave to those apostles, shouldn't we be all teaching the same thing? You would think. But I'll tell you what, there can be no tolerance for substituting anything for the truth of the gospel. Zero tolerance. They were one. They were unified. And so in verse 10, look at what he asks. They only ask us to remember the poor. The very thing I also was eager to do. They didn't ask Paul and Barnabas to adjust their teachings. They just asked them to remember the poor. We're talking about poor brethren. Paul said, I was eager to do that. I was eager to do that. You know, the collection for the saints in 1 Corinthians 16, when they'd make their collection, it was for the poor saints in Jerusalem. That's where that went. Well, Paul here's on track. I want you to look back with me at chapter 1. We're going to close with this. Look at verse 6. You see, Paul is the one that started the congregations in Galatia, in that region. He's the one that went through preaching the gospel. In verse 6 of chapter 1, look at what Paul says to the churches of Galatia. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you're quickly deserting. You leave the truth of the gospel and you need to hear it well. He says it in verse 6. You desert Jesus. It has to remain intact. You and I can't teach anything else. And Paul is amazed at these congregations that he had started with the gospel of Christ. You're deserting Him for a different gospel, yet verse 7. He said, which is really not another. There's not another gospel flowing out there. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. That's the problem. People want to distort things. And we see it all around us. And saints, we need to understand, we can't allow that to happen here. We can't allow anyone to distort, to move the teaching, to move away from that truth of the gospel. Therein is the power of God to save. And we've got to see to it that we aren't part of that. And here Paul is. There's people disturbing you. They want to distort the gospel. That's what the Jewish Christians wanted to do. They were coming in there and they were saying, hey folks, you can have Jesus, but you need to have the law and you need to circumcise too. That's distortion. Distortion goes on today. Oh, here's how you do this. Here's how you can be saved there. You know, it's all over the place. You can have any flavor you want. Just tell me. But I'll tell you what, it won't save you. There can be no tolerance on how one's saved, on the gospel and the truth of it. Look at verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel to contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. I don't care if it's an angel. If anybody misrepresents, if anybody misses the teaching of the gospel in any way, then what those apostles taught, you are accursed. And when you're accursed, can you imagine heaven? You are now on heaven's radar to be destroyed. It's that serious. It's that serious. I mean, you want to mess with this thing? You want to go across to other things? That's why Paul said, we're not gonna let it happen. We didn't let it happen for 1 hour. No, we're not putting up with this stuff. Church, everybody can rise up and believe what you want to believe and say what you want to say and think the way you want to think. But Paul said, we got to make sure the truth of the gospel remains. And you're going after another gospel. You're going over here after other teaching. And you're going different ways. No, that's not right. It's not truth. And if anyone's going to mess with this gospel and distort it, if anyone's going to mess with this gospel and add things to it, they are accursed. He doesn't say they are cursed. They are accursed. And that's why I used, you're on the radar. That's what the word accursed means. You have been singled out and targeted as a false teacher and a false believer. And you're going to be hurt because of it. You know, you watch these, whenever you watch the planes fly over these nations and there's a target they want to hit, and we've seen it, you know, where they'll give the pictures from the cockpit and all you see is the radar, and all of a sudden it locks in and that missile goes. It's locked in on that target to be destroyed. Well, that's the same thing if you go messing with this gospel. And there's going to be a lot of destruction in the lives of people. There are eternal consequences to this, brethren. And so I encourage you and I, love the truth. Make sure we hold to the truth of the gospel. Make sure you hold to what those apostles taught. And don't you veer one way or another, despite what everybody around us tells us. Despite whatever books are written. Despite what the voices on the radio may say. There is no tolerance for the truth of the gospel. And may we walk with humble hearts before our God.